Jesus.
Help me.
I was asked to take this position again today. The first impulse was, why me already? But as I said before, if no one does this because of whatever excuse, then everything is set up for scattered sheep. And the next thought was, I want to do my part to help Alvin where I can. Last time I was here, was birth of Christ and why he came to this earth to save us from this eternal torment. And eternal torment is, words cannot express what is waiting for those that are disobedient, for the sinner, for the lost. And yet I tried to put it in a few words. My goal today is to briefly enter into that, but the main thing is the reward if we are obedient. We all need assurance and faith. That's what I called the message, assurance and faith. And we need to be encouraged and reminded. My 62 years of experience, it was again and again. It was very needful and rewarding too. And I looked up that verse, assurance, and the first one was in Lamentations, Jeremiah's writings. And I want you all to turn your Bibles, and I will read it slowly. And I want you to penetrate. Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 38. We need to be assured and encouraged. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that sinneth, smiteth. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. To subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approveth not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. What a blessed statement. If we truly believe that, reading through this, I had to think of the different stages we are all in. We're born here not by our own choice, not a soul. And we're in this, and we come to a point in life where we have to choose. And do we neglect and push aside the salvation that is prepared through the birth of Christ? Do we push that back and say we want nothing to do with it? I heard that statement out of the mouth of one person. He said he wanted nothing to do with Jesus anymore. I curse him. And I almost cringed and sweated. If we do that, there's still hope because he's still alive. He can still come to repentance. But those statements are absolutely hell versus eternal heaven. From the heart, believe that Jesus came here on this earth for us. Whosoever confesseth with his mouth and believes in his heart shall be saved. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Just those words that Jeremiah was saying here. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. How many of us can say quietly wait? We long to have it now. And especially maybe old people, especially young people, young in the faith, they're groping to separate these things. And that's why we need people right here at home, right here and today, that are stable in faith, that know where they stand. Just quietly, lovingly, gentle, meek are the fruits, and there's no laws against them. No laws against those quietly, meek, gentle, kindness. But if someone is arrogant and haughty, there is rules, there's laws in the Bible. There's much pruning to do yet. Then there was another eternal assurance. Brought me to 1 John. How eternal assurance. I remember one preacher once saying loud, I didn't hear him say that. Someone told me he did it. He said it over the pulpit, and I thought, my, what a blessing. He said it in such blunt words, we must know where we are going to end up. We must know. And the simple statement, the simple fact, it struck home. We must know. Some people can take that into once saved, always saved, but that's not the case. We are every day prone to stumble and fall, and we need Jesus daily to keep us in those things. And when I look back over my life, there was many times when I was spared just by a hairbreadth of some major sin, disaster, whatever. But 1 John chapter 3, internal assurance, 21 to 24. Beloved, you probably, most of you Bible readers, I'm sure, know what I'm heading to. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now there was in that revolutionary war, I think is the terms in the States, I think is where it was, maybe it was in Russia too, but wherever it was, doesn't matter that much. Years ago, when they did the wars by hand and by horsepower, they went through this district, right, house to house, farm to farm, and demolished everything as they went. And people were scared. Some stood up. Most of them stood up, bare arms against them. There was nothing but confusion and murder, on and on. And then this one particular man, when he discovered they're coming into his neighborhood, he told his wife, make good dinner, dress it up fine, the best you have in the house, and dress the children neatly, properly, and we shall see what develops. God will take care. And I am sure he had the confidence in him, in God, that this scripture says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And the time came when they drove in the lane, and he walked right up to them. He said, you are busy, you are sweating, you are hard working. Come in and have a meal. Sit down and relax. And they were dumbfounded. They did not know how to cope with this. It was so opposite what they had entered in. And they were beside themselves. They didn't trust him. He gently said, come on in, have a meal. Finally, they consented. They went in, all defenses up, ready for whatever develops. But here was the table set. Everything on the table, food prepared. And he told them, help yourself. And the leader of that group said, nope, we're not going to do this. You must taste everything of every dish before we eat. That was the mistrust that was in there. They did not trust him. Sure, I'll do that gladly. He took of every dish. And then they sat down and ate. And they were filled. And they walked out that door and said, we're not going to do anything to you. This was a kindness we have not seen. That's what Jesus did for me and you. And let's praise him and glorify him When we think of our sins, of our wrongs, of our mistakes, of our blunders, there is hope. He died for those. Then when we think of what hell is versus heaven, I never like to dwell too long on hell, but still it needs to be expounded, exposed, because it is written in the Word. It'll be gnashing of teeth forever and ever. It'll be a fire that will not consume. It'll just burn, produce flesh, burn, produce pain forever and ever. And I, in my heart, I believe it'll be the remembrance of the deeds of life here on earth will come back. However, that's anybody's. But then heaven, I want to close then, not now, but with that, what is prepared for those that trust and believe in Christ Jesus. Christ came down to this earth for a reason, and we're commemorating his birth just in the last weeks. But it was the Easter then when he was hung on the cross that really clinched everything. He finished his message there. So let us strive on with confidence and assurance. Now Paul's absolute confidence in 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. We need to do that for the leader of our little group here in Hezek. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Enos, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I think I have chapter, but nevertheless, I think it's chapter 2, but nevertheless, I'll carry on there. Exhortation to endurance. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I will jump to chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The whole scripture is designed to honor Christ. He is the leader of the church. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then God cannot lie. Hebrews 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. This heir of promise, whoever wants Jesus, no matter what level he understands, if he has in his heart he wants God, that's what he means, the heirs of promise, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's where each individual can enter in, that veil. When Christ rose from the dead, the veil was ripped in twain, and the mercy seat was there, open for whoever wants, whoever desires, can go in person to Jesus. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, I think, is another name to honor and glorify Jesus, if I understand that correctly. And I thought I'd read the commentary on those verses. It was there. It went deep into my heart. Starting at the end of verse 18, the author uses three pictures to demonstrate the security of being in Christ. First, It is described as a safe retreat for the believer, as were the six cities of refuge in the Old Testament to those allowed their protection. Numbers 35. Second, our hope is sure and steadfast, as is a well-placed unbending anchor. Our anchor is not located in the deepest sea, but in the highest heavens. The third figure is that of a forerunner. Though the figure changes, the location does not. Our forerunner is likewise positioned in the sanctuary of heaven as our forerunner. Jesus is far different from the Old Testament priests. In the sanctuary, they could intercede for the people, but they could not lead the people in themselves. As our forerunner, Jesus has opened the way before us that eventually and certainly we might enter in with him. When I think of that story about that man with his family and serving, I wanted to comment his sincerity, his knowledge of doing good in adverse circumstances like that was very scriptural, it was just what Jesus taught, it was what Jesus did himself. But then the opposite, the certainty of erroneous belief in Acts 19, verse 33 and 36. Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet. It was here where Paul was preaching and they were coming into against the law. It cannot be spoken against. Ye ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men which are neither robbers of the church. 33. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians. That verse there, certain erroneous belief. Erroneous means there's nothing there. There's certain, there's nothing there. If they hold anything up other than Jesus, there's sure damnation. Anything. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the cry of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." Paul was speaking against those that believed on this, what the great Diana. And that's where hell enters in. It does not exist. It does not carry through. And as I said, the other time I was speaking of hell, and they mentioned it in a little bit today, but there is another side in Revelations 21, and I'm sure you Bible readers know exactly what's in there, but it is good to go over it. There is a reward for us. And here John seen a new heaven. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the whole city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away, listen carefully to this, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's if we truly trust Christ for what he came for. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst, another huge one. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Those are the promises that are waiting those that trust Jesus, that want him as king. But, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's when the spirit gets cast out. Those, the unbeliever, the fearful. But always remember, having read that verse, Jesus is here lovingly. If you really know him, he comes kindly, tenderly, continually, even to the worst sinner. There is a certain sense of come. And it talks about that in Revelation somewhere. Come. So if people don't come, the sinner doesn't come, it is his choice in the second death. He chose it. The New Jerusalem. This is now the, again, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven veils full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I heard a message somewhere lately that what we are here and what God is. God made the heaven, the earth, the world, and all the stars and the planets. And actually, the earth is just a little speck in all the mass of planets. And we are on that little speck of world. And he cares about us. He has the very hairs of our heads numbered. He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows the thoughts of our mind. And we are but dust, it says somewhere. So considering all that, what a God we serve. Unfathomable. He cares about us, and he comes lovingly. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and the north 3 gates, and the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Now, I did not research the furlongs. I was once told it is about half of the United States, according to mathematical. That's the size. Completely somewhere else. It won't be in this world, I do not believe. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measurement of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topsy, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th chalcedony, the 12th and anethias. Help me for those words. I don't know. Didn't say them right, I'm sure. And the 12th gate were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. He sacrificed himself. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now, what really struck again was 27. And there shall in no wise enter in it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. How often in life do we get caught making a lie? Judge yourself. I have nothing in mind, but we know so little. We are powerless in many areas. other than Jesus Christ? Any good that comes through him? I found it very encouraging and studying this and trying to grasp what I want to read and explain, where encouragement, we are all due for that. And then the last, and I was amazed too, I thought I should bring it up, these four songs that we sang this morning, they seem to condense everything into it. This, I gave my life for thee. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed. That's Jesus speaking. That thou mightest ransom be and quicken from the dead. My Father's house of light, my glorious circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings and lone. This is Jesus speaking, according to the psalmist. I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. We have every reason to praise God and glorify him. There's no excuse to do it daily and be kind to others. I often think of that other statement Jesus made, what you do unto the least you did unto me. Where does that put us all? The least. Who is the least? What I take, explain it as this such. The least is somebody, maturity people kind of walk away and let him sit. Don't care. What you do unto him, you did unto me. Tremendous words to remember as we go about talking to different people and running into certain circumstances. And I do want to really read part of Jude, as he seems to be a man of few words, which I can identify so well. But the benediction he expressed there, well, we start at verse 17, exhortations to Christians. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Before these last two verses, I do want to stress, Jesus was here lovingly calling, come, 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 pulling children, young folks, seniors, old people, people that are sick, that are almost discouraged, come, come. And it is all in love. He died on the cross that we might live. Whosoever believes in him shall be saved. And it comes in such small, bit by bit, growing and longing for righteousness, for truth, for perfection, We cannot do it of ourselves. We need to ask Jesus, do it for me. There's nothing in me. Now, this last two verses. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That is God. That is Jesus. He is able to keep you from falling. Any speck of spark, smoking flax, it will not quench, it says somewhere. And that, I take it, means people that have a little spark of desiring to do good, he will not quench it. All you need to do is ask, which sounds simple, but it's a cry from the heart. I want more of that kindness, of that mercy, that love for others as you had for me. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He does it with joy. He's just overjoyed over one sinner that repenteth and comes, calls for him. In 37, Luke, John 6, 37, I shall in no wise cast him out. I cherish those words, and I long for people that have a little spark of hope, that they too would come to that saving grace. Now the last verse, to the only wise God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That was Jude's last. I think he must have been one of Jesus' playmates and watched him grow up according to his only one single chapter, but there's powerful words there. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. God bless you all in your walk of faith. Let us, however we can, whatever talents we have, take some of the responsibility from Alan.